honestly.
But I just wanted to talk about this one because, like, this is just playing devil's advocate. Native Americans have a big suicide issue. We do share a suicide issue in general, but I think more than our suicide issue, we kill each other. And I think that ties into the lack of self-confidence and self-awareness and everything that you're speaking to.
But I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I disagree. I think it is, because if you care more about yourself and expected to have a longer, more successful, more important, more relevant life, you wouldn't even spend time going about trying to kill your brother.
Hold
or sister.
Up. I like to interject. So, that's not really fair to say, because when you subject a group of people to generations and generations of poverty, and everybody's fighting for the same scraps in that one little dingy ass apartment complex, you're gonna have people killing each other.
But what you're doing is explaining the reason behind it versus explaining that it exists.
I'm not trying to care about the reason.
We know the reason already.
Right. It exists.
What I'm saying is, now that we know the reason, what is it that's causing these people to do it right now? And granted, it's historical context.
The same shit.
Yeah, it's historical context and all this and that. But
that's not historical.
It's happening right now.
That's every day.
People are in fibers right now.
I'm agreeing with y'all.
You sound like you are.
But I'm not. I'm telling you, as someone who lived these circumstances, be in these circumstances, experienced these circumstances, be around people who've experienced those same circumstances. I'm not saying like y'all aren't. But what I'm saying is, you recognize that there's something that's going to have to solve this problem, and simply handing somebody some reparations isn't going to solve the problem, because there's still a mental strain over years and years that you have to fix. So what is it that lives out that mental strain? How do you cure that mental strain? How do you resolve it other than just handing somebody a check? Because that's not going to do it.
You want to take this one? You take this one.
The biggest mental strain in a capitalist society is not having capital.
No money.
Right? So
I don't want you to waste your breath. I haven't said don't give check. I'm saying, what else do you do to solve the problem other than giving a check?
Well, you kind of changed your argument really quick.
No, I didn't. I said that just now. Y'all were so busy. Do you want to say it, or do you want to say it that you ain't here? That's exactly what I just said.
God.
I just said than giving the check, because the check is the part of the solution.
You said a check just ain't going to cut it. That's what you said.
I said a check isn't the only solution. You just giving the check isn't going to change anything, because as you say every week, if you hand them the check but don't change the way that they think, check is going to go to waste.
So
what I'm saying is, I haven't said anything different than what you're saying.
So you're saying the check is
necessary. Reparations is important. I'm not disagreeing. You already know that. Reparations is important. Give the check.
So the check
isn't
the only solution.
Check, how do you also fix the mindset? Because the mindset, if you hand somebody a check, they're going to go blow the bread on some bullshit. Everybody's not. But half of that 13% that we're talking about, because when you want to go on and talk about,
I wouldn't say half.
Hold on, nah, because you don't gotta say half. You're absolutely right. When we talk about the 13% that isn't counted, is want to add 7%. The piece that's not counted are the piece that I'm telling you. If you actually got a check out or got a check to them, they gonna blow it. They're the same people that aren't actually filling out the census. They're the same people that aren't actually counted. So if you want to say allegedly 13%, then let's pay attention to the allegedly that we're talking about that don't actually get accounted for, because those are the people where if you actually gave them a check, which they wouldn't even get one because they aren't accounted for. But if you gave them a check, how the fuck would they spend it, and where the fuck would they go and do
so
with it?
This don't got shit to do with the census, number one.
I'm not saying it does.
I am not compassionate when it comes to politics, right? I'm all about strategically making the group better. So, to be honest with you, if we all get checks, there's going to be some people that blow the money, but there's going to be casualties to every war. There's going to be bodies on the ground, period. But what the check does is it gives our group an unprecedented boost. So the people who are educated but got $300,000-$400,000 worth of student loans, and they got bills here, bills there, they live decent, you know what I mean? They have that boost. Now we can pull our money together, we can start our own businesses and corporations, we can hire our own people, we can start our own schools. It trickles down. So the people that blow their check, they're going to blow their shit. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, every African group who ever got paid, the Eskimos, the Chinese, you got people who are going to blow that. They're going to blow the money.
The point of the reparations is to boost our social economy, of the social economy of our group. Yes, there will be casualties. It's a damn war. Somebody got to die.
Hey,
somebody got to go.
PPP is the prime example. It's niggas who went bought Lamborghinis and made
some people who actually invested in their business.
And there's some people who are going to come out of this shit and have and establish generational wealth, right? Like PPP did a small leveling of the playing field. They didn't realize how smart black scammers were. The black scammers got a
to
big
point,
chunk of that.
To your point, like you said, a lot of niggas didn't get counted on the census.
Yeah.
A lot of niggas with black businesses didn't even fill the shit out.
Yeah, I'm not knocking.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, niggas didn't even fill it out.
So,
like, you got a business and you didn't fill it. They give it away. They give it away.
Yeah, so, like, and this is the thing. It showed the ability of the American government to print money when needed with no interest. They printed trillions of dollars.
$6 trillion.
With no interest. So if anything that happened, the argument for reparations was boosted exponentially because their main arguments, we don't have the money. We can't afford it.
Yeah,
we can't afford it. So when we talk about why we don't need coalition, it's they got like Native Americans not saying the casinos were enough payment for what they went through, but they got that right. Some tribes got the casinos and thrived. Some tribes got it and blew it, fucked their money up, right? Like he's saying, that's going to be a casualty of it. We need to get our money to be able to even make that decision, how we're going to do it,
right?
How we're going to break it up. If we fuck it up and it all fucks up, so be it. We still need ours to fuck it up. I don't think we are.
I personally don't even like being I don't like being compared to Native Americans because, number one, Native Americans got fucked over. But Native Americans, what have they done to actually build the infrastructure of this country? What have they done?
Buffaloes.
They got rampaged and they got their land stolen.
Teepees.
And they let all the buffaloes get killed.
Y'all niggas wild.
All the five civilized tribes, right?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like 15% to 20% of each of these tribes, right, were black slaves that they owned. Like the numbers in the Cherokee Nation were comparable to Tennessee's slave to white person ratio. You understand that?
Yeah.
Like these are not our friends. We just feel sorry for any and everybody.
I'm still not trying to make them our friends. What I'm saying is there's strength in numbers. If you're going to sit here and
they
argue,
got no numbers.
If you sit here and argue with 13%, you don't either. And so
I think
two people who ain't got numbers, guess what you got?
Bro, I don't want fake numbers though.
You got at least, right? Because on paper, 47 million black people in this country. 40 million of such are native black Americans. 40 million, right? There's only 7 million Jewish people in this country. And look how much influence they have.
So now when you talk about your 40, how much of that 40 are in positions of that 7 million of Jewish people?
But it's a reason why.
And there's a reason why. And I'm not saying that there isn't. So what I'm also saying is when you get your reparations that y'all keep advocating for so much, because I advocate for them too, I agree they need to exist. They need to happen. What are you going to do with the rest of that million that ain't even matching your 7 million of Jewish people? Because you will get them when you hit the reparations. You'll probably double the 7 million of Jewish people. You'll get 14 because we're talking about 40. But out of that other 30 of those people, are we just like casting them to the wayside?
So this is the thing.
We're saying we're going to leave more than half. We're saying fuck all of them. When you really could actually save half of the half that you're trying to leave giving some type of financial literacy, just giving some type of resources, just giving some type of education behind financial literacy too. Really acting like that's too difficult of a task. Give me my millions so that I can get my reparations and fuck everybody else.
So
we fucking everybody else when we can actually... We can actually be saving some more of the people that we just talking about casting off by the wayside. That's my only question. That's my main question.
My thing is like if we're talking about reparations in a significant way, let's say I was the leader of the country and I'm giving out reparations, right? I'm telling black people, some people are going to do their thing, right? They're going to blow it on whatever. I'm telling them, get your guns and buy a business, right? Because inevitably, the reparations is going to bring us to a point where we can actually compete in the economy. That's the main thing that reparations is going to do as a whole, that it's going to be influxing cash in the black community where business can be started, where we have capital to buy houses, buy land, buy things that we were doing prior to Reconstruction, a little bit after the Civil Rights Movement, during those times where black progress was sabotaged, right? We need to build an economic base, right? So once we do that, we can say, hey, we need our own networks, because one of the things that damages black people so much, we don't control our own image. We don't control how the media portrays us. We don't control our music. We don't control our art, you know, and that influences black people in a negative way exponentially, right? So we can take control of our image, our art, our narrative, number one. Number two, we can actually own some of the things that we're fucking with, right? We can own a television station. We can own a fire department. We can own a school, own a hospital. If niggas is really savvy, we can own a militia, build our own defense mechanisms, right? Without capital, you can't do none of that shit, right? It's a reason why some of these militia groups can do the things that they do. They're funded, right? We don't got funding. It's usually 2 to 3 rich motherfuckers in every little pocket of black America or black people that is leading us economically. But let's say that 2 people turn into 50 people, to 100 people. Exponentially, how will we be able to progress if I didn't have to make a decision between feeding my family or defending my family? Because a lot of black men have to make that decision every single day. Do I defend my family? Do I stand up as a black man? Do I hold my shoulders high? Do I press against white supremacy? Do I feed my family? Do I regress back? Do I take my aggression back? Do I temper myself to be able to make a living, go to my job, and be able to feed my family? When we have economic freedom, we don't have to choose from feeding and defending. Right now, it's too many black men in America who have to make that choice, and I don't blame them, right? If it comes down to you getting killed out in the street, defending your honor, defending the honor of black people, and you know your wife and children are going to starve, and you choose not to, it's set up. The system is set up for you to make that choice. Some men make it, some men don't. But I don't blame the men that don't make it.
I'll say this. To answer your question, Kirk, if I was in charge of dispersing reparations or a reparations plan.
Reparations king.
Two major things I would add in there, and I'm pretty sure I'm leaving a whole bunch of shit out. One thing is mandatory life insurance policies. Mm-hmm. Because that way,
mandatory, that's wild.
Even if you fuck off your reparations, at least your kids aren't fucked. You smell me? So mandatory life insurance. And okay, so let's rewind maybe 40, 50 years ago, right? When the communist Chinese government was emerging, right? A lot of the American corporations saw potential in China because of the billions of people there, right? So the Chinese government recognized that. So you know what they did? They said, okay, y'all can come over here to China and y'all can do business. But you gotta turn it down, it's on the mic. So what the Chinese government said is, okay, boom, you come over here, you wanna do business. Let's use the car companies, for example, right? Ford, if you wanna come over here and do business, you gotta hire Toyota, right? You gotta split everything 50-50 with them, and you gotta let them in on all your board meetings and let them know everything you're doing. And you can do business over here. 2 decades of that, Toyota's outselling everybody. And Ford didn't have no choice because they want to sell shit in China. You see what I'm saying? Something like that needs to be implemented as far as black people and getting contracts for business. You're going to have to include us in business contracts. And lastly, with the reparations being the heartbeat, the cash money check, the life insurance coming, the business contracts coming, then you have access to low interest loans, which I think I was going back and forth with somebody on Facebook about that the other day. My only point was you need the cash first. So you got cash, you got your life insurance set up. If you're doing good business, they have to do business with you. And lastly, access to low interest business loans. I think that's everything we need to move forward. Maria, what do you think? You ain't said shit in like an hour.
Y'all, sorry.
Hold on, you ain't even been drinking on this show.
No, I haven't.
She thinking about that date from the other day.
Uh oh.
I'm kind of hungry. Maybe I'll call him back.
That's your stomach growling now.
You got to understand, it's not a date, but you're paying for everything.
We need to talk about that. We just need reparations, man. I agree with you. I agree with what y'all said. That's it.
All right, on that note, I think it's about that time, ladies and gentlemen.
Final thoughts?
Yes. The earliest final thoughts I ever get. I'm proud of y'all.
I feel like we like an hour in.
We about 2 hours.
That's it.
We about two hours in.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but it's only an hour 46. Usually we weather than two. I take this hour 46. I'm not complaining. We good. Come on.
I hear that.
I was about to say, change the music, Trip.
New beat.
Actually, we've used this before.
It's like the same beat every week.
Captain Kirk.
The same two every week.
I'll be switching them up, but y'all just don't pay attention.
Let's see. Hold on.
Oh,
my man, Andy Githam. Andy Gump Githam. That's what we're
going to call him.
You don't got to be a Gump to be gay. That's not what we're talking about. Andy Gump Githam.
Oh, Lord.
My man. Got the R&B groove over the R&B groove.
That's the gospel, cuz.
I cannot with tripping and sound.
It was in front of heaven.
Yeah.
No.
Long story short, my man lost.
Word.
And then took another major L when he wanted to get gang. And so,
God damn, almost wasted my scotch.
I get that it was drugs and sex involved, just like Marion Barry, but Marion Barry was the mayor at the time. He didn't just lose an election, and he came back and won another. Your man Andrew here took an L and then took another L, so I don't got him coming back from this one. I get, you know, you can co-opt the whole narrative and all that other good stuff, and he did it, and he tried it, and I think he's doing a good job at it, because that narrative that he's trying to co-opt seems to be on his team very heavily right now, unfortunately, but, I mean, it's life. Do your thing. If you want your narrative co-opted, go ahead, let it happen. But Andy, gotta do better. I wouldn't vote for him. So if he ever runs for president, after getting that government job, I'd be like, hey, remember when Andy was
smoking meth?
It's like, nah, that's our black brother. So maybe I would. I don't know.
Hey, we're going to
see. We're going to see. Who's the next topic? I can't see it today.
Joe Budden.
Oh, Jody. My man, Joey. I support Joe Budden and everything that he's doing here on out. Unless he starts to, you know, be shady in the light like Charlamagne, because I thought I was going to support Charlamagne from here on out too, but I don't support him right now. He's being very questionable. I don't like how he brought the attention back to the two of them to his podcast. He then went from discussing it amongst the black community to discussing it with his white friends on Brilliant Idiots. Then he's making a lot of bad moves here, but own your stuff at the end of the day. It's no different than me wearing this Nats Academy hoodie while I also own Infinite Evolution. And it's no different than a Gap commercial. I don't know if you heard that part because of the bomb. But it's no different than LL Cool J in a Gap commercial rapping about FUBU. He ain't own FUBU though. But at the end of the day, do what you got to do for yourself while you're also playing the game with these people, because you got to play the game and do for your people at the same time.
Facts.
And what was the last one?
T.I.
I ain't talking about T.I., man.
Oh.
Just a little bit on reparations.
T.I., I don't know what T.I. out here doing with this cryptocurrency, but if you ain't in the stock market yet, get in the stock market. Play the game real quick, because otherwise you're playing with savings accounts, and them joints only going exponential. Your money about what? 10 cents on the month versus what you can do versus what you can do in the stock market. So if you don't know how to play the game, watch some YouTube videos, figure some stuff out, ask the people that do know, and make some stuff shake. But don't mess with T.I., don't mess with your celebrities and your cryptocurrencies. I would only trust like Bitcoin and a few others right now. But don't listen to people on podcasts talk about them either, so I'm not going to give you no others past.
Disclaimer.
Well,
don't listen to Tripp Simpson about cryptocurrency.
No.
That's all I got.
For real?
All right. Your boy Andrew. I feel like with him coming out as a bisexual, I do think that was definitely PR.
That's what's cool. It's the B.
It's the B in the alphabet.
In the LGBTQ,
yes,
that's the B.
Yes. I think that might help him if he runs or whatever. I'm really not familiar with.
Not in Florida.
I don't know. Maybe he may want to get into politics again later. I don't know, but I do feel like as far as him and the comments that people were really making about, you know, his marriage and wondering if his wife knew and all of that other stuff, I just feel like whatever is his personal business, that's his personal business. I mean, whatever you choose to do outside of, you know, your political life, your entertainment life, that's your business. At the end of the day, they're people first. So
that's my business.
You know, hey, to each his own. However, I do feel as though those people in those positions should definitely be mindful that you're being watched, and everything you do, private or not, can potentially be seen and shown. As far as Joe Budden and Charlamagne, y'all know I'm riding with Joe Budden. Please, y'all, go. If y'all haven't seen it, go watch it, because Joe Budden definitely spits some gems. I feel like Charlamagne is definitely being a little bitch. And instead of him, you know, recognizing and taking accountability and you know, listening, he just acting like a bitch and still being in the situation that he's been. He's still not owning anything. So I feel like that's the key here, that, you know,
be right back,
ownership is key. Well, all right. Oh, be careful, guys. Be careful. let's see, where was I? Right. Yeah, go check it out, y'all, for real, because Joe Budden definitely was shooting gems. And T.I.
You got 14 bricks right there.
And last but not least, T.I. and the whole cryptocurrency scam sounded a lot like the Fyre Festival to me. And the whole thing with Ja Rule, it sounds just like that. Yeah, I'm just like, well, when you play dirty, you get dirty and you essentially get caught. So, you know, and those are my final thoughts.
All righty. Cosby Digital.
Shout out to everybody who's listening this week to the Straight Talk No Chase podcast. Make sure you find us on YouTube. Find us on Facebook Live. Soon to be on Twitch eventually. Shout out to y'all, man. Make sure you like and share this episode. Where do I begin? Let's start with Andrew Gillum. I think some of the same arguments that were made for Joe Budden on this podcast, the same rationales need to be extended to Andrew Gillum. Because when we talk about
when we talk about
not publicly airing out, you know, our brothers that are making a positive contribution to the community, you know, just because we don't like somebody's lifestyle or disagree or whatever the case may be, we can't change the rules around, right? The things that happened to him happened after he ran. So if we're going to put a microscope to every politician's life, we're going to bring dirt on anybody. Or we put a microscope on any of our lives, right? Some dirt is going to come up. So I appreciate him having the courage to come out and say what he said. And I think he has a political future, you know, based upon the work he's done and the time he's put in. When it comes to... when it comes to T.I., T.I. situation is just another example of a celebrity endorsing something that they didn't necessarily understand everything was going on. They caught the check, put their name on it, and I don't think he fully understood, because if he did, I don't think he would have signed his name to it. When it comes to... what's the next topic we had? Punch me in.
Coronavirus.
And then
I think we went into reparations or something like that.
Okay, no. So we went into who's going to take the vaccine, right?
That's what you want to see.
Yeah, if we talk about the people who've had coronavirus, especially symptoms, and would they take a vaccine if they... because the coronavirus is probably going to morph into another form, just like the flu virus has. And the people who've been through the fire... most likely they would risk taking the vaccine versus going through what they went through again. And it's all dependent on how things evolve, how things morph out, right? When it comes to Donald Trump and his misinformation, if I hadn't had the coronavirus and I was listening to Donald Trump, I would think it wasn't a big deal at all, right? I would think it was maybe a hoax, or maybe it was something that the government was doing to control people. But then if I heard his private conversations, he expressed what he really thought about it. And then you look into the type of security and social distancing he has around him. He gets tested every day. Everyone who comes in contact with him gets tested every day. When they're not on camera, they do have on masks. So you take that for what that is, knowing the facts. When it comes to Joe Budden and Charlamagne, like I alluded to early on, when you are an entrepreneur and everything is on the line, the conversation and stakes are always going to be different for somebody who, you know, works for somebody else. It's just how you approach the situation, how you value your intellectual property, how you approach your negotiations is going to be completely different, because you're thinking long term, right? You put the time in, you put the effort in, right? And you didn't put it in because you were punching a clock. You put it in because you had faith in an idea. You had faith in a program. You had faith in something that was going to bring you, it's going to bring you something, right? You have faith. You had to have faith in what's going on versus you were paid to do something. So if you're coming from that space and time, your conversation and negotiation are always going to be different. And I understand what Joe Budden was talking about, because the Joe Budden podcast can be forever. If he negotiates this deal right, his family right now, everybody on that show, their children and children can benefit from one of the greatest podcasts of our generation. Because Joe Budden has one of the greatest podcasts of our generation. And for him to sell that short would be a travesty. So I salute Joe Budden in fighting for what he's really worth. I think that was it, right?
That's all you got?
And was that it? Was that the last topic?
Hell yeah. I think you went over everything.
I can't see the fucking... Oh. I got... pre-production, y'all.
Same way I felt.
The light is right in my face.
I finally came up with a solution for when I can't see what's going on.
See the goddamn.
And then y'all took away my solution. I don't be remembering the topic.
I feel like that was
yeah, I think that was it.
The gist of it.
You did good.
Definitely, man. Hey, listen. Great final thoughts from everybody this week, man. I'm going to keep it short.
I think.
Anyway, Andrew Gillum, as I like to call him, Gilly the Squid.
Somebody hit that button. Because how did you come up with that nickname? I'm curious to know. It was slimy and fishy for you?
They found him on the floor sweaty.
No, he was swimming in his own vomit.
Gilly the Squid.
Oh, yeah. Gilly. I feel like that's the thing that's going to get the episode deleted.
Andrew Gilliam.
Andrew Gilliam, I mean, listen, man.
Gilliam.
Whatever your sexual preferences is, that's on you. I've never been a fan of Andrew Gilliam's politics.
Gilliam.
Whatever. Andrew Gilliam. I've never been a fan of his politics. I've never been a fan of his haircut. I've never been a fan of his suits. I've never been a fan of this clown. I'm number one. Only because Andrew Gilliam is your typical black male that they put in the Democratic Party. A spineless, effeminate chump who is there to carry out the marching orders of Nancy Pelosi. And that's it. They called him. They set him up. They done pulled up. I don't want to say that. That's offensive.
Uh-oh.
Don't get the episode deleted.
After a minute, an hour 45.
We see who he is. He is who the rest of these. I mean, Cory Booker is probably the same way. These guys, they march in front of us with no backbones, always show themselves. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a backbone because he's bisexual.
Cory Booker is clear for the record. Andrew Gillum was actually questionable. They had to try and like stage somebody for Cory Booker. What was the celebrity name? Some actress?
Rosario Dawson.
She was acting like she was his girlfriend.
Yeah, Rosario Dawson.
Keep going.
Sorry. Yo, typical Democratic black male that they get put in front of us. Clown. I mean, whatever. It is what he is. It is what it is. He got what was coming to him. I think his political career is over, especially in the state of Florida, because, I mean, it's Florida. Maybe he can move to Atlanta.
Atlanta!
Damn, Maria.
I can't help it.
Oh, you're alive now, huh?
Yo, I'm going to leave it alone on that one. Okay. Shit.
Maybe he can move that. Right?
As far as Joe Budden and Charlamagne Tha God go, I mean, Charlamagne Tha God continuously shows us who he is. I'm not a fan of any of his books. He has had a couple of interesting people on the Breakfast Club, so I respect him for that. Dr. Claude Anderson, Tariq Nasheed. He even had Umar on there, but Umar was making sense. So, I mean, I can't say Charlamagne is a complete...
He's conflicted.
I can't say Charlamagne has been a complete disaster, but at this point, it's clear by the way he's done Joe Budden that he is. I mean, like, he's butted in to this conversation when he hadn't had to. And it's clear that he's tried to launch a smear campaign against this man. And it's unwarranted. Like, you in your lane, he in his lane. You say he abused women, but you rape a woman. You say he abuses animals, and...
I said he should have killed us. But I understand.
So look, you know, you can't throw stones if you live in a glass house. You know, you say he abuses animals, and you admit to being high and letting your dog lick your nuts. That's just weird. So, I mean, you're a weird dude. And the shit that you're doing to Joe Budden is extremely weird. This man is just trying to go out here and get what he deserves, get what he's worth. I mean, you're an employee. You're getting paid well from your employer. Y'all just not the same. As far as T.I. goes in this SEC investigation and him getting busted for the cryptocurrency, I think T.I. is pretty much what you're going to get out of this sector of entertainers. These people are owned at the end of the day. They're owned. So I hate to come off rough on them all the time, but I know that they're owned, and I know that the people that own them,
it's raining,
I know that the people that own them won't let them operate in the realm and space that's going to actually make change within our community. So that's why I'm quick to shout a lot of the nonsense they come out with them. As far as Ice Cube goes, we touched on that a little bit. I'm not all the way knocking Ice Cube, okay? I'm not here to disrespect Ice Cube. I'm just here to say he's misinformed. I'm here to say that his contract with Black America was not thought out enough. I think the sentiment is there. I think an overall message of not giving away your vote for free is definitely on point. But I think that the meat and potatoes behind his contract are missing some steel columns. And one of those steel columns is cutting that check to the descendants of American slavery, period. I don't rock with politically including other groups because they don't include us. And quite frankly, I don't blame them.
Damn, that's what we got about the Indians.
Yeah, I just don't hope they blame. I just hope they don't blame us because, you know, we ain't finna include them in our shit. It's all
late?
Love. It's all love. But at the end of the day, we got to look out for what's best for our group so we can keep it moving and continue to reach for victory in the nation that we built.
Is it too late to give my final Native American thoughts?
I'll tell you what, we can do a post show.
Absolutely.
We can do a post show.
That was bad. I just wanted to test y'all. That's messed up because I ain't even had nothing else to say. I wasn't going to disagree with y'all. Y'all had y'all point. I feel you. Cool. I just wanted to bring up thought-provoking conversation real quick.
Nah, it's all good. You know what? You did that, man. That's what we do here on Straight Talk No Chase, man. We sit up here, we build, we politic, we yell, we scream, but at the end of the day, we all have the same goal. We want to push the culture forward. And
that's some assholes because you wouldn't let me get my final Native American thoughts. That's
hey,
bad.
Man, put the weed down. Straight off, Chase. Straight off, no Chase.
I ain't even smoked before this show.
Yeah, fucking right.
Oh, your socks match too. I don't trust you either. You fancy.
Yes, I do. mellow on the pillow.
Are we in trouble?
I shaved 20 out of 25.
Yo.
What up, bro?
What's up, everybody here? We got you hooked in through the mixer.
Oh, shit. All right. Give me like 2 seconds. Now. I just had to break into my own fucking house. give me like 2 seconds. We'll call you all right back. All right. God damn.
All right. Well, you cut off while, yeah, because it's playing through my phone. But, matter of fact, I should just play it through this damn computer. It'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. I ain't ready for it.
I'm watching the Facebook Live here so I can see the comments and see how many views we get. This is connected. This. Okay, so hold on. This is YouTube. So this is where I monitor YouTube. Any comments or where I can see the streams and all that shit here. This is the phones. There's no calls here, but this is the phones.
Is there something that lets you know without you having to click over and check and see